भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, the beautiful story of the Personality of Godhead, translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada, Canto 4, the creation of the fourth order. Chapter 9, Dhruva Maharaj returns home. Text number 32. Matir vidushita devai. Matir vidushita devai. Patadbhir asahishnubi. Patadbhir asahishnubi. Yo narada vachastatyam. Yo narada vachastatyam. Nagra hishamasattamaha. Nagra hishamasattamaha. Matir vidushita devai. Patadbhir asahishnubihi. Yo narada vachastatyam. Nagrahishamasattamaha. Intelligence, vidushita, contaminated, devai, by the demigods, patadbihi, who will fall down, asahishnubihi, intolerant, yaha, I who, Narada, of the great sage Narada, Vachaha of the instructions. Tatyam, the truth. Na, not. Agrahisham, could accept. Asattamaha, The most wretched. Translation. This is Dhruva continuing to lament that he got what he wanted. Translation. Since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence. And only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of sage Narada. Please repeat.
Since all the demigods
who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by a devotional service. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence. And only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of sage Narada. Srila Prabhupada's purport. As shown by many instances in the Vedic literature, when a person undergoes severe austerities, the demigods become very much perturbed because they are always afraid of losing their posts as the predominating deities of the heavenly planets. It is known to them that their position in the higher planetary system is impermanent, as it is stated in Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, Kshine Punye Marjalokam Vishanti. It is said in the Gita that after exhausting the results of their pious activities, all the demigods who are inhabitants of the higher planetary system have to come back again to this earth. It is a fact that the demigods control the different activities of the limbs of our bodies. Factually, we are not even free even in moving our eyelids. Everything is controlled by them. Dhruva Maharaja's conclusion is that these demigods, being envious of his superior position in devotional service, conspired against him to pollute his intelligence. And thus, although he was the disciple of a great Vaishnav, Narada Muni, he could not accept Narada's valid instructions. Now Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he had neglected these instructions. Narada had asked him, "Why should you bother about insult or adoration from your stepmother?" He, of course, said to Dhruva Maharaj that since Dhruva was only a child, what did he have to do with such insult or adoration? But Dhruva Maharaj was determined to achieve the benediction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and therefore Narada advised him to go back home for the time being, and in mature time he could try to practice devotional service. Dhruva Maharaj regretted that he had rejected the advice of Narada Muni and was adamant in asking him for something perishable, namely, revenge against his stepmother for her insult and possession of the kingdom of his father. Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he could not take seriously the instructions of his spiritual master and that his consciousness was therefore contaminated. Still, the Lord is so merciful that due to Dhruva's execution of devotional service, he offered Dhruva the ultimate Vaishnava goal. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Atir vidurshita devai tathat bhir asahishnu behi yo narada pachastatyam na grahisham asattamaha. Om Ajnanatimirandasya Jnananjanasalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtyam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamahyam Adati Svapadantikam Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is a very interesting verse. Dhruva Maharaj is in the Leela, playing the part of a conditioned soul. He's doing what we do, at least what I do, all the time. What I can't face in myself, I project onto others. They call it projection in psychology. So he's blaming the demigods for his suffering. And it's quite interesting how he's doing this. The lamentation, it basically goes from, we're on text 32 today, it goes from text 26 to 35. So, we're up to 32. So far he's just blaming himself. And now he's flipping. That's the business of the mind. Sankalpa, vikalpa. Accepting, rejecting. Practically in the same minute it can happen. So, he's been blaming himself, and now his mind is flipping. No, it's their fault. They made me do it. You know, they conspired against me. So that's very instructive. Because whenever you catch your mind doing that, you can see what a little kid the mind is. It's just like a little child. It's always blaming and a blame game. But actually, whatever's happening to us, what's the devotee's attitude? I don't deserve whatever good's coming my way. The Lord's so kind. He's giving me something to use for his service. And whatever bad's coming my way, I deserve much worse. This is the attitude of gratitude. Prabhupada said that verse has to be the guide of all Vaishnavas. So in the Leela, he's acting just like a conditioned soul here, and blaming, he's blaming the demigods. So, Prabhupada says in the purport about the demigods, it is known to them that their position in the higher planetary system is impermanent, as it is stated in the Bhagavad Gita, 9th chapter, kshine punye marchalokam vishanti. So, as my godbrother Mahamaprabhu pointed out nicely in a recent class, that whether you eat the laddu or you don't eat the laddu, if you're the center of that decision, if it's just about me and mine, then damned if we do, damned if we don't. And this is exactly what Arjuna offered as his last reason for not fighting. Achaitad vidmakataram no guriyo yadva jaye ma yadiva no jayeyu yane vahatva dinit najaji vishamas devastita pramukhe Dhartarashtra. Nor do we know which is better, conquering them or being conquered by them. The sons of Dhritarashtra, whom if we killed, we should not care to live, are now standing before us on this battlefield. As long as I am the center of all my deliberations, all my thinking, my feeling, my willing, damned if I do, damned if I don't, we lose both ways. Whether we, you know, donate the laddu, oh, I need that laddu. My beloved laddu. I should eat it. And then it was great the way Muhammad did that. And then he eats the laddu. Why did I eat the laddu? Why did I do it? We had a beautiful observance last night. We were remembering. On Friday it was the birthday of the Bhagavad Gita. And it was also the birthday of Satsarup Das Goswami, Prabhupada's authorized biographer. And so we told a lot of stories. I didn't tell this story. Now this is going on international airwaves. I better watch it. But anyway, I once asked Satsarup Maharaj in connection with laddus, I said, This is when I had been a devotee for a couple of years, and I was brahmachari, and I asked him, Maharaj, you were married, what's it like to be married? He looked at me, you know, stupid questions, perfect answers. He said, being married, Sureshwara Prabhu, is like being at a Sunday feast you can't eat. Oh. And then later on I ate it twice and I got heartburn twice. What to do? So if we are making the ourselves the center of our decisions, whether we do or we don't, doesn't work. So yeah, the demigods, they're up in the higher planetary systems, but it's the same thing going on up there. Just a higher standard of living. Higher standard. As above, so below. We read in the Shastras, there's envy, there's intrigue, they're getting kicked out of their neighborhood. You know, sometimes the demons take over their neighborhood. You know. So the whole thing of heavenly elevation is really a fantasy. Bhogaishwarya prasaptanam taya pavritta cetasam vivasayatmika buddhi samadho navadhiyate. In the minds of those who are too attached to sense enjoyment and material opulence and who are bewildered by such things, the resolute determination of devotional service to the Supreme Lord does not take place. No samadhi samadho navadhiyate. I once heard Prabhupada apply that verse to the demigods. In Miami, 1975, February. He was sitting under a banyan tree at New Naimisharanya Forest with a spotlight on him. He was lecturing on nature, the enjoyer, and consciousness in two successive evenings. And I forget how it came up, but he applied that verse. He said, you don't find devotees like the six Goswamis on the heavenly planets. Just reminding us of our super excellent heritage, you know, Shad Goswami. He said they're devotees, but they're very attached, and therefore they're fearful of losing what they have. So what is Dhruva doing? He's lamenting. So he says, Srila Prabhupada says, well, Dhruva says, These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of sage Narada. Actually, his response to Narada Muni, although it was extraordinary for a five-year-old boy, it was just unheard of, it was actually very natural for his being a thoroughbred, heavy-duty, first-class, pedigree kshatriya. What did he say when Narada Muni told him, you know, this Ashtanga Yoga is not, you know, good for you, this is too rigorous, just, you know, just be a good boy and go back to your mother. and so Dhruva said, you have given me very good advice, but I cannot do it, I'm a kshatriya. So he was actually perfectly playing his role as a kshatriya. He's lamenting now, but the whole Leela was playing out according to very natural sequences. He was perfectly playing his part in the Leela. And then Narada Muni, being a first class, best spiritual master, he was perfectly adjusting his instructions to something that this boy could do. Or he didn't know if he could do it, or I'm saying that, but he thought, okay, this boy is very determined, this is extraordinary, so let me give him this. And this is one of the duties of the spiritual master. He has to see the mentality of the disciple and engage him appropriately. That's very important. So he did that. And now Dhruva is lamenting. But then lament is healthy, as long as Mahamahaprabhu said that Prabhupada said, shame, when connection with shame, a little shame, not too much. Not debilitating shame, not shame that completely incapacitates me so I can't do anything, but shame that inspires me. Yes, I'm going to improve, I'm going to do better by the grace of Guru and Krishna. So it was good. And then because he's a devotee, Srila Prabhupada ends the purport, he's actually a great devotee, Dhruva Maharaj regretted very much that he could not take seriously the instruction of his spiritual master and that his consciousness was therefore contaminated. Just like at the end of the last purport, it said, Prabhupada says, every one of us who is engaged in devotional service and Krishna consciousness should be completely free from all material aspirations. Otherwise, we will have to lament like Dhruva Maharaj. If we actually get what we think we want, we're in for it. Growing up in America in the 1960s, I'm going to bring this in now. I was telling Gita Nagri, we were talking about the verse before class. And there was a famous show, it became an icon in American TV called The Twilight Zone. So one of the episodes was the protagonist, the main actor, his name was Larry Blyden. And the show opened with a thief being chased into an alley. And he was trying to climb a wall to get away from the police, and he was shot. And then he died. And then the next scene, he wakes up. And he thinks he's gotten away because he appears to be in the same place. But anyway, the whole show is the thief getting everything he wants. He wins the lottery, he gets the girl, he gets the car, he gets the house, anything he wants. It's like, just like, you know, whatever Krishna thinks, he can do just by thinking about it. He can just, we have to do, if we want to do something, we have to make so much endeavor, so many arrangements. I forgot a very important detail. So when Larry Blyden, the actor, he doesn't really know what happened, but then someone who appears to be his guardian angel appears before him, a big fat actor named Sebastian Cabot, big fat guy. So he informs the thief that he's been blessed now to have a good life and a happy life, and he'll get everything he wants. And so at the beginning of the show, as the show is going on, he's getting everything. And then by the end of the show, he's so bored, because whatever he wants, he just gets. He's so bored, so he finally goes to, you know, his would-be guardian angel, Sebastian Cabot, and begs him, I don't want to be in heaven anymore. It's so boring. I want to go to the other place. And then with a Mephistophelian diabolical laugh, Sebastian Cabot looks down at him and says, this is the other place. You've gotten everything you want. And you're bored to tears. So life is only really exciting and dynamic when we really, you know, learn the art and science, the art, the heart, the science, the head, the religion and the philosophy of doing what Krishna wants us to do. Then the dance becomes really exciting. As long as I'm mixing it with my steps and my tune, it's herky-jerky. It doesn't quite work. You know, it's out of sync, it's out of tune. Therefore, Prabhupada said, Nacho, Nacho, Prabhu. Make me dance, O Lord. Make me dance as you like. Right? When he wrote that poem. So, and then everything is dynamic and it's exciting and you never know what's going to happen next, but you know it's going to be good because Chris has got a plan and I'm ready to dance according to that plan. So my last little note says, stay determined, be yourself. This is what Sridhar Maharaj told his disciples when he was leaving. Be yourself. Make a contribution and receive Krishna's mercy. Otherwise we'll have to lament, oh, I've wasted another life. So I'll read the verse again. If you have any questions or comments, please raise your hands. This is Dhruva's latest lamentation. This goes on for a few more verses. And it, oh, by the way, in the next verse, he's going to reject what he just said. Because he's on the mental, right? In the Leela, you know, playing our part for our instruction. So now he says, since all the demigods who are situated in the higher planetary system will have to come down again, they are all envious of my being elevated to Vaikuntha Loka by devotional service. These intolerant demigods. It was him that was intolerant, right? But he's projecting it. These intolerant demigods. What did Prabhupada say? Three fingers come right back at you. You know, as soon as we finger point. These intolerant demigods have dissipated my intelligence, and only for this reason could I not accept the genuine benediction of the instructions of the sage Narada. But because he's a devotee, all's well that ends well. He's going to get his heart's desire of going back to Godhead with a little 36,000 year delay. Any questions or comments? Gitanagari Prabhu.
So you, instead of Bhagavatam,
it says what?
The Bhagavatam just report is just pounding the highest truth.
Yes.
So does this verse doesn't have any reality at all? You're saying it, it's a mind flip of a psychological mind flip of Dhruva Maharaj. So my question is did the demigods pollute his intelligence? So I want to. Is it true?
As far as I've read, no. He's in process. He's a work in progress, and he's lamenting. You know, so far he's been blaming himself, and now he's like that. You know, we do that. And then the next verse, you'll read how he's back on himself again. So that's how we are. You know, we're in process. We're learning. I wish I hadn't done that. Wish I would have counted 108 before I said that. You know. So it's Leela. It's staged, as most of these events are in the Bhagavatam for our instruction. But yeah, as far as I've read, he's just in process. He's in the blame stage. So follow.
Yeah. So the question I always have about this Leela is. If it's true, as you say, that Dhruva is still a work in process, this lamentation, this working in process is coming after the darshan of the Lord. So I'm wondering, I just get confused because I thought that the ultimate culmination of Vaishnava activity is to actually get the darshan of the Lord. So when you get the darshan of the Lord, it's already concluded that you're perfect.
Guess what? We're getting the darshan of the Lord every minute, and we don't realize it when we say, Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. And that is the same, but we don't realize it, and we get the darshan of the Lord every day. I do, and I'm still playing my movie, trying to wind it down, but I'm still at the movies. I'm still hankering and lamenting and So, but to directly answer your question about, what happened in that particular case, when we did this unit, we just did this unit with Kadamba Khan Swami a few weeks ago, and before he gives a class, he always reads around in the commentaries, and he brought a nice thing where, because the question could be raised, if he had the darshan of the Lord, then why later on, did he go wild and try to wipe out the whole Yaksha race? It was like a pogrom. It was like an ethnic cleansing. He's trying to kill all the yakshas. And so Jiva Goswami says, when he was at that moment when he was touched, he was only in bhav. He wasn't in prem yet, so he still had some issues to work out. He wasn't quite all the way there. So in that particular case, that's what Jiva says, Jiva Goswami. But anyway, the fact remains, we're getting the darshan of the Lord, but in between me and the Lord, there's clouds, as Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur points out. Nam is pure, Nam is powerful, Nam can uproot more sins than I could ever commit, in eons. But the clouds of my offenses, the clouds of my anarthas are covering. So it's not that the name is incompetent or impotent, but I'm putting these things between me and the name, and me and the deities, and me and the devotees. So that's called the remnants of our separatist mentality. We're suffering still. But as long as we don't you know, plug the fan in, as long as we're sincere and trying to, then we're in that samyog vivasito hisa consciousness. We're rightly situated in our determination, and it's just a matter of time before these things drop away. And then we might think, oh, what takes so long? Like George in the song, but it takes so long, my sweet Lord, it takes so long. What's one life? One life, it's just a flash, just a snap. So, is that all right? Something? Question, comment? Yes, Manaji.
Narada Muni was testing Dhruva to see if he was really determined. But now it seems, and later on you explain it, but still I would like some clarification, it seems that he was not simply testing him, he was giving him an instruction, and that's why he is lamenting for not having. So how can we understand when the spiritual master is testing us, or if he's watching at our specific nature?
Okay, the question is, how can we tell when the instruction is real or just a test to see? Well, when he's testing, he sees what we're actually seeing, what we're actually able to do. Right? So if we can't do something, he's not going to force us to do it, you know, like the old story of Prabhupada allowing someone to get divorced, because he knew if that person didn't get permission, he would have done it anyway, and then plus he would have disobeyed Prabhupada and committed an offense. So, yeah, testing to see what the disciple is ready to do. So, we don't have to psych out the spiritual master. We can't psych him out anyway. He's got us psyched out, more or less, and then he might, you know. And Prabhupada did this all the time when he was with us. He was always trying things with us. In the first phase, he put us on these Paramhamsa pedestals. We don't need Varnashram. We're transcendental. We're devotees. And then it was, you know, we should do Varnashram. Not that we need it, but just to set an example for the people so they can become a little peaceful and be inspired by an example of a better way to live. And then they'll be able to understand the books. And then by the end of his stay with us, it was, you need Varnashram. You're not making it. You can't even chant 16 rounds and follow the four regulative principles. You need Varnashram to get a board, to get a handle, to have access to Krishna consciousness. You say you're devotees? It's not so easy to become a devotee. You're a praya Vaishnava, an aspiring Vaishnava. So the spiritual master will probe, he'll test, he'll work with us. He's very kind. He's willing to work with this. Very kind. But then it's up to us to follow the instruction and to make progress, to give up those lower motives and reasons and to get a higher taste and to finally come to anukulyena Krishna nu, serving Krishna favorably as Krishna desires. One time I was in Madison, Wisconsin with Satsuri Maharaj and Hridayananda Maharaj, and myself and a devotee named Srinath, who's since passed away. We were in Madison, and we were kind of ahead of them, distributing back to Godheads and sort of warming up the campus for their coming in and doing an engagement. And so it worked, and then they did the engagement. And then after the engagement, they turned to Srinath and me and said, and we're young, you know, brahmacharis, and so they say, we'd like you two to stay here and open up a preaching center. And we said, oh no, there's too many beautiful college girls here. We can't do this. And then I said to Hridayananda Maharaj, I said, and anyway, Maharaj, I thought Krishna consciousness meant, you know, we just dovetail our desires in Krishna's service. He said, no, dovetail means you find out what Krishna wants and you do that. That's dovetail. But still, it's a kind of dovetail. It's an immature dovetail. But we have to come to the point of doing that, what Krishna desires. It's you know, sakam dovetailing. We have to come to the point of nishkam and then finally prem, bhav, prem. We have to progress. It's a Hare Krishna movement. We say in America, even if you're on the right track, if you don't keep moving, sooner or later, you're going to get run over. There's a bumper sticker too. It says, "My karma ran over my dogma." I don't know if you get that, but in other words, if our Krishna consciousness remains superficial, and it's just all about rules and regulations and, you know, the externals, and then sooner or later, if we don't progress, the momentum of those desires coming from eons of birth in this material world gets the better of us, and we have to act out those desires. My karma ran over my dogma. We can't be dogmatic. We have to go deep. And then we'll be happy. And the desires come and they just insignificant. Tuchavad. Good question. Thank you. Sundara Nanda Gopal Prabhu.
My question is, it's very simple, but...
It better be short, it's not late.
So, I have the desire to surrender to Krishna, no?
Try.
Okay. And I am thinking how I can do this, because if I go in front of Krishna, and I am asking, I am ready to surrender to him. What I have to do is remain silent, is not telling me nothing, no? What to do. But, therefore, according to my understanding, that...
See, people are leaving, you're gonna ask your question.
Yes. So to satisfy Lord Krishna, just is necessary to become so humble that we just follow the instruction of the basic instruction of spiritual master, no? Like chant Hare Krishna mantra, follow the first principle, and to be quiet and not ask too much, just to do like this nicely. This is enough. This means we can in like this we can satisfy Krishna.
The tenor of your question, it sounded like, should we just be quiet and do as we're told? Is that, I mean, and then we're going to go back to Godhead? It's a very dynamic process. Tadvidhi paripanipatena. The ultimate yoga posture, right? Dandavas. Pariprasnena. Inquire submissively. Sevaya. And render service. The self-realized souls, plural. Krishna uses singular first, then plural. All you book changes critics. Can impart knowledge unto you because they have seen the truth. So it's a dynamic process of submissive service and inquiry. And if we're actually applying it, the spiral goes up and up and up. And the bad stuff just drops off like a snake shedding its skin. So, but it's dynamic. We have to be, we all have to find our mission. Within the mission. Prabhupada's mission is so vast. So what is our mission? So here's the mission. Sve sve karmanya birata. Sangsidhin labhate naraha. Svakarma nirata siddhim. Ita vindati tachchunu. By following his qualities of work. Be yourself. By following his qualities of work. Every man can become perfect. Now, please hear from me how this can be done. Because everybody's following their qualities of work, but not everybody's becoming perfect. So how do we follow our qualities of work and become perfect? Yatat pravittir bhutanam yena sarvam nidam tatam svakarmanatam abhyarcha siddhim vindati manavaha. By worship of the Lord, who is the source of all beings and who is all pervading, a man can attain perfection through performing his own work. We have to do everything in yoga. If we do everything in yoga, in harmony with Krishna, Even the first class servant is anticipating. He's anticipating. I think my high school basketball coach, he's always saying to us, anticipate, anticipate, anticipate. What are they going to do next? Right? Anticipate. So a first class servant is always anticipating what the guru wants. And pretty soon he gets... That's why Śrīla Kīrti Prabhu was such a good servant. He didn't argue, and Prabhupada joked with him. He said, you're no fun, you don't fight back. You know? But he was always anticipating Prabhupada's needs, and it was really, really good. So if when we find out what really our mission is within the mission, then it really gets exciting, and then we start anticipating what to do next, and we're forward-looking. We're not dreading the next moment, we're looking forward to it. What's he going to do now? No. It's dynamic. So, anyway, my next moment is up. Uh-oh. I can't deny Vasudeva Prabhu. I saw him first.
This comment you made about the chronological
history of first Srila Prabhupada making the statement that Varnashram is below us, we're transcendental, we don't need it. And then, okay, we might use it to teach the world. And then, so we definitely need it, and this is the thing that I was not able to do, which I wish I had more time to establish.
Show you how to live.
Now, I never heard this chronology to be significant. Even to this day, I don't see that the debate is agreeing at least on the fact that this is what happened. We are still, I still hear the debates being said, did Prabhupada say this or did Prabhupada say that? Which of the three instructions should we follow? This is what I still hear, and it's very confusing.
Yeah, that's
but the way you put it, everything makes sense suddenly, and it's, I have to confess, this is the first time I hear it.
Well,
but suddenly I was stricken, in fact, the whole class of Indoritur, there were many interesting statements you made, but this is what I found was the most enlightening to me in this class, is that you suddenly made a lot of sense to me about this issue. I'm dumbfounded to not believing that it is not more clear to us that Prabhupada had to update his assessment of Varnashram and the need for it through history. And now it is time to actually get busy with it. Please, do you have any more comments?
Well, this is another class, and actually it's a whole course. And I know, because the GVC asked me in 1992 to chair a committee to research Prabhupada's instructions on Varnashram. You know, here we are 18 years later. So I was moving to India with my little daughter and wife, and I did a handoff to Hare Krishna Mataji, and then she did the work. Brilliant research. And she, if you remember her BTG articles in the 90s, she wrote a lot about it. And then I came back from India, you know, sadder but wiser. And then I became her editor for the first of a projected series of books. So it was a book you can read, and it's actually part of the database.
What's the name?
It's called Speaking About Varnashram, Srila Prabhupada's Morning Walks and Room Conversations from 1968 to 1977, showing the evolution, yes, evolution, of Prabhupada's preaching about Daivi Varnashram Dharma all over the world. So, you can see... I can see you. Here I come. Where I should have started from. Thank you very much. Now I've been blessed. So, yes. You're on Mayapur.tv. So what to speak of the three phases of Prabhupada's preaching. There's also five ways we identified that Prabhupada used the term Varnashram. So unless you know the five ways, the five contextualized ways that Prabhupada used the term, and the three phases of time of his preaching in his Vapalila, the whole thing makes no sense. All you do is you seize upon one thing that Prabhupada said in 1968 or 77, and everybody argues from their prarabdha karma, you know, whatever they're attached to. You know, so this is a big, you know, topic, and we can't get into it now, but your question reminds me that the finger of God is on me to have it make a seminar about this again. But it's in, if you go to the database and you look under, I forget now, compilations. It's in the 2003 version of the Vedabase. By the way, the good news is that there's another upgrade of the Vedabase, not a complete upgrade, but there's next month. The Bhaktivedanta Archives is going to not upgrade their software, but they're going to upgrade a lot of material in the database. But if you go now into your if you have database, you go into contents, and then you go into compilations, and it's in the compilations. It's speaking about Varnashram. And if you only read one thing, just read Prabhupada, February 14th, 1977. We call it Prabhupada's Mayapur Valentine to ISKCON and the world. And Prabhupada is making very, very clear. This is what he wants. So, I think we have to end Nitai Priyapu.
Sorry, I've lost my voice.
Okay, that's okay. Your voice is beautiful even when you lost it.
So, Krishna gave like this post to the demigods to be like in charge of the higher, like administration. And there are so many histories where like the demigods, like especially Lord Indra, is very like envious when someone is doing like tapasyas. And like the living beings on this planet are trying to please Krishna and like ultimately go back home. But like the demigods really like they spoil his like this whole process. So how should we like see that? I mean, if there's like a temple president who is very like fearful of the new bhaktis trying to like advance, and he's like hampering their progress, shouldn't he be kicked off from that post? Because he's like, why should he be there?
It sounds like you're asking, shouldn't these demigods, who are after all been assigned by Krishna to take care of the utilities in the universe, right? The lighting, the watering, the heating, all the way down to the eyelids, and even the gopis, you know, criticize Brahma, right, the creator, for making their eyelids blink because they couldn't see Krishna for a split second. Which only goes to show you that if you want to avoid criticism, do nothing. That's another bumper sticker. Avoid criticism. Do nothing. So, it sounds like you're asking, shouldn't these demigods resign, retire?
And they should put someone more
be removed?
Matured, someone more matured and not like envious there.
They're qualified. Sometimes when people would criticize a leader in ISKCON, you know, in the 70s, Prabhupada, you know, he even said once in a letter, you've got to give the devil his due. you know what that means? You have to give the devil, he may be acting like a devil, but you got to give the devil his due. That means you got to see the good that he's doing and overlook the other stuff will drop off, you know, tolerate the other stuff. That's why Prabhupada did all this stuff. You know, he deputized people to go all over the world. And then later on when we discover that we're not perfect, you know, people are surprised. You know, come on, give me a break. So anyway, no, these demigods are very pious and they're very capable, qualified people. And they make mistakes and then they get slapped and then they wake up. Even the Adi Guru of our Sampradaya, you know, he does, for our instruction, he does even the most abominable things. There's a hint. I think I'm getting the hook.
Thank you.
So, they're devotees and they're very capable, qualified, and that's how Prabhupada did too, with people who maybe were rough and tough. You know, but they were very capable. You know, only a certain personality could have gone to a certain place and just, you know, carved a community out of a rock or you know, just gone to a continent completely unknown and just and then we have to follow through and clean up. But yeah, that's not Krishna's way. That's not the pure devotee's way. The pure devotee's way, instead of to removing, is to purify. You know, and there's some penance, and then there's, just like when they were preaching Prabhupada was God, you know, Prabhupada expelled them, and then he said, now if you want to come back in the association of devotees, then you have to preach. Preach! You can't preach with these devotees now because you've disturbed them too much. You have to preach, you have to open up centers, you have to preach vigorously. And they did, they were sincere. And they did wonderful things. And they were purified. So that's what Krishna does. He purifies us. That's the positive. There's no separate prayas chitta, it says in Nectar of Devotion. Just get up, dust yourself off, and under the direction of the spiritual master, or masters, we go forward. Jai, better end. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.